peace of mind, peace of heart, peace of body, peace of being, peace of God. Peace of mind, peace of heart, peace of body, peace of being, peace of God. And as I meditated on those words over the following weeks, I realized that what that meant to me was five easy pieces. Pieces in our lives, pieces that we can learn to perceive. And so some of you were in the class that I gave called Five Easy Pieces, where I explored those ideas, that I experimented with what does it mean to have peace of mind, peace of heart, peace of body, peace of being, peace of God. I don't know how much I can convey of you, to you, of the vibration that I feel when I just say those things. It's like it takes me to another level of peace when I just hear or say the words. Because so often we talk about peace of mind, and we think about meditation and the experience of meditation and stilling our thoughts. But as we did the class on Five Easy Pieces, we began to recognize collectively as a group that peace is not about stillness. It's about the recognition of peace through everything, through all of the activity. And we recognize that peace exists at every level of consciousness, within every activity that we're involved in. And so when I thought about what I wanted to bring today to describe to you that would perhaps communicate how I feel about peace now, I brought, I had David print once again, and some of you have seen this so many times now. We keep going around and around with this one, but it's really helpful to me to think. Because it's a linear description of states of consciousness, and you can't take something that is multidimensional and make it two-dimensional and black and white and tell the whole story. So I'm not saying that this is the utmost revelation of truth that you will ever see, but it's a way to create a conversation, to have a language that helps us talk about consciousness. And you may have seen it before. It may be new to you. How many people have seen it before? Most of us have seen it before, but let me just give you an overview of it so that it's a little clearer what you're looking at here. David Hawkins is a psychiatrist and an MD and a PhD, and he was having great success with healing people who had serious mental illnesses in his psychiatric practice in New York almost 30 years ago now. But what he discovered is that even though they built an extension on a hospital to house his patients, he had so many patients, that he could not do the work, one person, to heal all the people that wanted to come to him to be healed. And so he backed off in his life and said, perhaps this is not my work. Perhaps what my work is to describe in a way that other people can understand it, what it is that I do that allows people to have a climate where they do heal from serious psychiatric illnesses. And he was talking about people who are catatonic on the floor, healing and becoming productive, normal, everyday people. Extreme cases of psychiatric dysfunction that were long-term in some cases. And what he discovered is that he recognized the truth of their being. He recognized the divine within them. He recognized their value and the beauty and the wonder of who they were. And he just created a space where that within them was recognized as true. And they came to a deeper understanding of who they were and a greater ability to express that truth of who they were in the world. And so what he did was he retired from his practice and he moved to Sedona, Arizona, and he began research that ultimately resulted in his PhD thesis, which resulted in the book called Power Versus Force, which contains this information. And what he did was study what it meant to be at different levels of consciousness. And those levels of consciousness described on this up until 200, where there's a bolder line here, those are the levels of consciousness where the metabolism of the body is based on adrenaline, where you're in fear or anger and the flight or fight experience is your physical reality. Those above 200, courage and neutrality and willingness, up through 500, which is love, the physiology of the body, remember he's a doctor as well as a PhD, he says the physiology of the body in that area of emotion, these are experiences of consciousness, experiences of emotion, that the body actually develops neurotransmitters and neuroreceptors at a higher level of sensitivity when you're in non-judgment and willingness and neutrality and acceptance and understanding. And then there's another bolder line between 400 and 500 on here. And that's another primary gateway of consciousness where you move from reason to love. And as you get deeper into the ability to experience and express love, then you move into a metabolism that's based on endorphins and the possibility of joy and bliss and ecstasy and deep sense of peace is a reality because your physiology of your body is capable of experiencing that. When your body is in a state of alarm, you don't really have access to bliss. It's just not chemically the same thing. So you tend to go through, as you expand your consciousness in any time in your life, you go through this experience of alarm, and then you find that things aren't maybe as alarming as you thought they were, and you move to a level of non-judgment and saying, perhaps there's a gift in here for me. And then you move to an understanding that, yes, indeed, there is a gift for me in this experience. And then you allow yourself to become more aware of the love that you have been all along. And in the lower levels of consciousness, as we've talked about in previous months here, you are love expressing as anger. Your love expressing is fear. Your love expressing is guilt. And you become love expressing as non-judgment and trust and openness and receptivity and understanding and the ability to be serene and to nurture and to experience and convey and communicate joy and to celebrate life. So this is the way I see it. This isn't the way David Hawkins sees it. So that up until now, I've been telling you what David Hawkins said. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to tell you what Connie believes and what Science of Mind says, as I best understand it, is that as we move into these states of being, we become clearer about what already is. Ernest Holmes said, "We are not here to disintegrate or reintegrate anything. We are here to reveal the wholeness that has always been here, that there is a divine pattern, that it is a clear sense of being that is intending to express in us and as us. And that is the divine urge within us. We know that we are supposed to be happy and good and powerful and joyful, There is that within us that feels that need to express in that way. And when we're thwarted from that, when we don't feel that, it's so incredibly uncomfortable and disorienting. Because we know within us that we're supposed to feel that way. And so it's like we're torn apart, that our hearts feel shredded because we are wanting to love. The desire to love and to nurture and to be excited about life, to be passionate and adventuresome and joyful, that all of that is the truth of our being. It is the propulsion that got us here, I believe, in the first place. It's that divine urge within us to express. So what does that all have to do with peace? That was a very long way of coming back to saying, now when I look at this, I see peace at every level. And what David did for me recently, he amplified the idea that there is not light and darkness, there is degrees of light. And there is not cold and hot, but degrees of heat. And so as we look at this, when we consider qualities of God, there is not love and not love, there's just degrees of love. And so as you move up the scale of consciousness, there's greater degrees of peace. We experience peace more powerfully as we move through these places. So let's talk about this just a little bit. At the bottom level, when we're feeling grief and apathy, guilt and shame, we don't feel peaceful at all. We feel powerless. We feel victimized. We feel at the mercy of others who sometimes don't feel very merciful at all. And so in our movement in consciousness and in mankind's movement in consciousness, we move from those spaces of powerlessness into empowerment. And one of the stages of empowerment is anger and war and conflict. And so we move beyond that feeling of powerlessness into conflict. And we find our balance, we find our power, we find our willingness to be who we are, and we find our courage. And in that moving from anger to courage, we become at that place where our physiology shifts and our sensitivity begins to develop. And we become able to accept what is and to allow other people to be who they are. In another talk that I gave, I talked about the idea that oneness seems glorious when we're in separation, when we're looking at that which is unified and we're feeling not unified. Unification looks so beautiful, and we strive for that unification. But when we stand in the oneness, when we feel unified, when we get to that place where we know it's all one, and we look out standing solidly in the one, then diversity looks glorious. Can you feel how that shift takes place when you move from where you stand? If you stand outside of feeling the divine and you look at the divine, it looks glorious. But when you stand inside of feeling the divine and you look at what is, you see the divine everywhere. And you realize that each expression of that divine is perfect and whole and wonderful in and of itself. And you get, at least I've gotten to the place where I can see that every individual is doing the very best that they can to express the love and the peace to the degree that they have in the consciousness, in the metabolism that they're currently experiencing. And so if they're in a place where they're in great anger and they have this incredible urge to express, it may look like conflict and war. If they're in that place where they feel shame, they withdraw. And when they come out and they get angry, it's uncomfortable for us. But it's actually an improvement for them. And if we can be open-hearted enough to see that we can hold conflict in a space of peace, we can hold this development of all people into an understanding that everybody's moving to the next step that is more loving, more peaceful, more appropriate for them, then we can have that peace within us that allows our hearts to be open, our hearts to be peaceful. It allows a sense of spaciousness, and this is how I physically experience it. And let me see if I can describe this. When I connect with peace, my mind is quiet. My heart is soft. My body is relaxed. My being is integrated. And my awareness of God is present. HeartMath, the Institute of HeartMath, studies the impact of emotion on the physiology of the body. And what they discovered is that when your heart is at peace, when your heart is open and engaged in whatever's going on, you're incredibly more intelligent. Your rhythms of your body come into harmony. So that when your heart wave is peaceful and a normal sine rhythm, then it brings your brain waves into harmony. It brings all of your systems of your body into peace and stasis. And that's the environment in which healing takes place. And in every moment, our bodies are healing. There is no time when our bodies are not engaged in producing new cells, cells dying off, new cells being born, things being brought into balance. The whole system of the body is about bringing the body back into a chemical balance that is nutritious life supportive. And when our hearts are engaged and our minds are engaged, there's this feeling of spaciousness that integrates our whole being and allows us to be aware of that peace of God that underlies all of it. Sometimes the words don't feel like they convey the feeling, but I hope that there is something in what I'm expressing that allows you to see that there is always a peace that we can get to. And it may be easiest in this moment to do a meditation and quiet our mind. Or it may be easier in this moment if we have a lot of adrenaline in our experience to go out and take a walk, to move and to allow the energy to express and to see nature and connect with nature in that moment. It may be that an artistic expression, like playing the guitar or writing a song, could be our connection to peace, or painting a painting, working with colors. After my husband died, I painted for 2 years. That's about all I did. I had never painted before, but I went to my basement and I just played with colors day after day after day for almost 2 years. Whatever it is, whatever kind of expression that you have that connects you with that sense of peace, with that awareness, that perception of the peace that is, because your body knows it. Your body knows peace. Massage. When I took craniosacral therapy, they said, don't be surprised when you work with somebody's body if their stomach starts growling. And yeah, they explained the physiology of that. When you relax and the adrenaline lowers in your system, the flight or fight mechanism stops working. And the normal physiology of your body takes over. So your digestive system works better. And you start digesting your lunch, you know, which may have been prevented from being digested because you were too tense and too stressed before that. So whatever it is that works for you, and everybody's different, you will find those things that you do that allow you to become more connected to the truth of peace, to the truth of love, to the truth of God. And on this chart, peace is up here at 600. And that makes it look like you don't experience peace before you get there. But that really isn't true at all. That's really tuning in, as I understand it best, to the peace of God. That's getting to that place where you feel completely integrated and spacious with the whole of all being. And many of us may get there in this lifetime, and many of us may not. You know, there are people on the planet who may not achieve the peace of God in this physical lifetime. But if you can get to neutrality, where you feel detached, where you allow release to happen, that is a peace. That's where peace of mind begins to be experienced. When you don't feel like your well-being is dependent on the conditions happening outside of you, where you can say, I'm going to be okay whether this happens or that happens, and you let go, that release is peace. So that's a place where it's easy to feel peace if you're moving out of the fight or flight place where you've not felt peace, where you felt stressed and struggled. If you move to that place of release, that can be really helpful. And the spiritual mind treatment process that we teach, that allows us to pray and pray for what we want, the last step is release. We feel the result of our treatment, and then we let it go. We don't hold on to it and struggle with it and try to make it happen and worry about it. We let it go. And we trust. And so if you develop a practice of prayer that allows you to trust, that is an incredible development in consciousness. Hawkins says most people on the planet move a maximum of 5 points on this scale from the time they're born to when they die. But if you look at where you've been and where you started maybe and where you are today, you may see that you're not like that. That you have made a conscious decision to shift your consciousness, and that you do have moments of acceptance and nurturing and reverence and serenity. And so, peace is available. It's here all the time. And what it takes to get to it is a shift in perception, which doesn't feel so difficult to me as some of the other things I thought I needed to do to get to peace in the past. And as we shift our perception, then we can be an influence for peace. And then we can take action, we can plant trees, we can have a vision that is future-oriented, and we can consider embracing and nurturing and supporting life in more and more powerful ways. And the world shifts because we shift. It's so simple, and it takes place every day. And as you focus on it, you'll see it more and more. The way I see it a lot of times is that someone will come to me and they'll look depressed. And by the time we finish talking, they may have made a shift in consciousness. And I see a greater light emanating from them. I see them more aware of who they are and more fully expressing that divine energy that's within them. And so there, I want to leave you with honoring of other traditions, because one of the things that we do in Science of Mind is honor all traditions. And this morning, and I pay attention to my email, because things come to me that are meaningful and synchronistic. And today what came to me from my sister-in-law was the prayer of St. Teresa. My family's Catholic. And basically St. Teresa said what I wanted to say today, just in slightly different words. So we'll honor the Catholic tradition and all traditions today, because all traditions have prayers of peace. May today there be peace within. May you trust your highest power that you're exactly where you meant to be. May you not forget the infinite possibilities that are born of faith. May you use those gifts that you have received and pass on the love that has been given to you. May you be content knowing you are a child of God. Let this presence settle into your bones and allow your soul the freedom to sing, dance, praise, and love. It is there for each and every one of you. Took me a lot longer to say it, but she said it so beautifully, and I am grateful. And so it is.